Greetings in the name of the one who sees what we do not. There are many leaders often associated with the civil rights movement, and the movement was the product of many unnamed and unknown leaders, working behind the scenes at various levels in the still ongoing social move toward equality. I will share the story of one of these, with whom I mentioned a few weeks ago during Holden evening prayer. Pauli Murray was a lawyer, a civil rights activist, a labor organizer, an author, a poet, and a pioneering feminist. Murray was born in 1910 in Baltimore and grew up with their aunt in Durham, North Carolina. Murray's grandmother was born into slavery, the product of a rape between her enslaved mother and the man who owned her. Murray's own mother died when Murray was 3. Murray's father was committed to an insane asylum for symptoms of long-term typhoid fever. He was beaten to death by a white guard. Murray was 13 years old by that time, living with her aunt Pauline. Murray was an accomplished student, graduating with distinction from high school. After graduating from Hunter College, Murray applied for graduate work at the University of North Carolina, Durham. The application was rejected because of Murray's race. 3 years later, at the age of 31, Murray entered Howard Law School. Murray was the only person perceived as a woman in that year's class. Murray graduated the first of their class, receiving a prestigious fellowship, which generally put the winner on a track to Harvard Law School. In spite of a reference of then-President Roosevelt, an alumni of Harvard, Murray was rejected because of their perceived gender. Murray went on to receive a Master's of Law degree at the University of California, Berkeley. In between these accomplishments and after, Murray ran for public office in New York, served as a senior lecturer in Ghana, wrote several articles and reference books, a memoir, and a book of poems. Murray was appointed by JFK to serve on the President's Commission on the Status of Women Committee on Civil and Political Rights. And on civil rights, Murray worked alongside A. Philip Randolph, Bayard Rustin, and Martin Luther King, Jr. At odds with prevailing norms, Murray never felt completely comfortable, identifying with one gender. For many years, Murray sought hormone therapy and exploratory surgery to see if they had been born intersex, trying to make sense of her or himself in a world of strong and strident gender rules and norms. Murray became the first African-American to receive a JSD from Yale Law, served on the board of the ACLU, became a professor at Brandeis, and finally, at the age of 62, began divinity school education. They became the first black person perceived as a woman ordained in the Episcopal Church. And because of church policy, Murray was forced to retire at age 72. And they died 3 years later of pancreatic cancer in 1985. Pauli Murray's legacy was honored in 2018 at one of their many alma maters by naming the newest student college in Pauli Murray's name. Why cover at length the story of one person? Because I believe these stories are seldom heard, but are very important. And because the readings today are much about God calling to lead those the world looks past. David is the youngest of his brothers. He worked with sheep. The man in the gospel text, the one who had no doubt of what had actually happened to him, while the world around him questioned and doubted, was born blind. Apparently, God does not see or understand what we see or understand when we look at one another, or when we measure each other by human standards. It seems God sees something else. In one letter to the dear aunt that raised Pauli Murray, Murray recounted the day when they were prophetically seen and named. It broke open the social possibilities placed upon them. Murray wrote this: "Just before I left North Carolina in 1927 to live permanently in the North, I was a teenager, 17 at the time. My Aunt Pauline brought me here to Raleigh to visit Bishop Henry B. Delaney, who had confirmed me at St. Titus when I was 9 years old and who was then on his deathbed. At the end of our visit, we had prayers, and Bishop Delaney blessed me and said, "You are a child of destiny." For the next 50 years, I pondered this prophecy of a holy man. Did he see then what I could not see? That God was calling me, even a woman, against the weight of every traditional theological argument and a 2,000-year tradition, to be a priest in Christ's holy Catholic Church, and to say to you today that out of these dry bones, the outcasts of the earth, even women, shall arise, and the house of Israel shall be reborn. God sees you differently than the world sees you, as God sees me differently. Perhaps hearing what Pauli heard is an important reminder. You are a child of destiny, not because of what you accomplish or because of power that you or I may gain or one day hold, but because of the power of the one who is at work in us. Amen. Number 334.